Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, this show is part of Entrepreneur Magazine on newsstands everywhere. We thank them, all the writers and contributors like myself, to make this brand what it is today. And to help you folks, you entrepreneurs out in the world, to be better at what you do, whether it's being a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, whatever it is, a best friend, because all these things are relative. And if you think they aren't, then you got something to learn still, because in business, your relationships, just like at home, are the most important part of that. Now, don't forget, check out the website, entrepreneur.com, on the web. There are lots of videos. There's lots of great stories. There's more podcasts like this one, Entrepreneur Weekly. Tons of them. We have the Entrepreneur Media Network of podcasts of entrepreneurs. So it's really cool. Our first guest today is Derek Sisson. And he served honorably in the United States Marine Corps as a member of the Special Operations Community, serving at 2nd Forest Reconnaissance Company. And after Derek served, he felt the entrepreneurial passion for business and set out to make a mark on business and jumped into the wine and spirits world, which is pretty cool. He's on the line with us right now. Derek, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you were in business, and you know, I think to be in the special forces or special operations part of the world, even in the military period, each one of you folks are little military entrepreneurs as well. I really feel that, because an entrepreneur is on a mission from God. Can I say that? And I think when, you know, in your role, I mean, you are on a mission for the United States, if I can say that, which is very similar in that, you know, you've got to protect your country, your family. And in that role, you put your life on the line. And I think that's how entrepreneurs are. So the military, as far as I'm concerned, are each one of them are little entrepreneurs unto themselves. And so when you got the job out in the world, you had a job. I know you and I talked a little bit in the fitness world. And you said, you know, God, I got to be an entrepreneur. I got to be in business for myself. I got to be in control of my every decision. And so you set out to be an entrepreneur, and you started America Bourbon. That's not America. It's like he says, how you say it in Texas, America Bourbon, AmericaBourbon.com, no A on the front. So maybe you could tell your story real quick.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, it was a very different era, unlike now. Now there's with social media and cell phones and so many different ways to communicate and stay in touch. The transitional, I believe, period now is quite different than when I got out. When I got out, you were just out, right? And so now, you know, there's so many support groups within the veteran community through Facebook or Instagram or whatever that looks like. A lot of nonprofits, which eases the transition, I believe, you know, that. So if somebody's, you know, looking to become an entrepreneur, there's mentorship programs. Right. There's just a whole lot of other things like that out there now that didn't exist when I got out. So when I got out, I was just out transitioning, but there was really no support to speak of. And I did like a lot of guys. I, you know, was kind of seeking what I was going to do after my end of service. And I went to Puerto Rico, and I didn't speak the language or what have you, but I had a baby on the way. And I was basically forced to be an entrepreneur at that time. And I said, what's my skill set? And I said, well, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of people looking for parachute scuba qualified office
right.
at the time. So I was taught certain skills in the Marine Corps. It just didn't translate into the civilian world.
Right.
And so I got a job at the Sands Hotel and Casino and as a water sports manager for obvious reasons. And so I kind of grew from that, learned the ins and outs of the island and the tourism operations, tourism business there. And I started a company there called Eco Action Tours. And I saw a niche. They had the big buses, folks to look at the El Junque rainforest, a waterfall, or just, you know, big kind of bus tours. And I said,
right.
It was kind of the forefront of ecotourism. And, you know, I started, instead of just taking folks to look at the rainforest, I took them into the rainforest and scuba diving.
Hold tight. I love this kind of story. I want to come back on the other side. We'll finish up hearing about your story and how you basically said, I've got no choice. Like you said, I got a baby on the way. I got to make more money. I got to be the man and the kind of the breadwinner here, take care of my wife and kid. We're talking to Derek Sisson, CEO of America Bourbon, hearing his story, and he's got a lesson for you guys, too. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. We're talking to United States Marine Corps Special Operations. I don't even know. What role were you playing there, Derek Sisson? What role in the military did you have?
I was in Second Force Reconnaissance Company.
What is
which
that?
Is now, the traditional role was deep reconnaissance missions, you know, 300, 400 miles behind enemy lines, intelligence gathering to make a long story short. So the parachuting, diving, all those kind of things were all just means of insertion and extraction.
Right, right. So you actually flipped that and turned that into something you could do as kind of adventure sports with people. And that's where we left off. Sorry about that commercial break. With National Radio Show, the commercials eat it up. The podcast world, you guys, I know that do podcasts, don't have to deal with that. If you're listening to our podcast, thanks. And there's a whole bunch more, but we do have to take a little break. So continue on. You were helping folks to have this extreme lifestyle out in the jungles and stuff. How cool is that? And then what happened?
Oh, it was wonderful. It's really good venture into the world of entrepreneurship. And so I did that for 6 years. I ended up selling my portion of the business and headed back to my hometown of Houston, Texas. Took a traditional job, as I'd mentioned earlier, with a company called Source Plus. I was their national sales manager. We sold mostly fitness products on TV through, you know, stores such as Academy and what have you, TJ Maxx.
Yep.
And during that time period, I always had a love for the Italian wines and culture. And I had the opportunity through that job to travel to Italy. And I met some friends over there that had some smaller wineries. And they asked me, hey, do you think you could help us set up distribution in the United States? And I said, what can you pay me? And they said, we can pay you in wine. So I said, well, the wine's really good. I think I can accept that offer. So I started doing that part time, and I had some luck setting them up with distribution.
Right after you got out of AA, what happened?
I'm not a quitter, so I had that quit attitude. So yeah,
I love it.
I didn't stick in the program, but I found some distribution here in Texas, and that led to me getting myself an import license. And I had managed to sell enough wine, I left my full-time job to start this adventure into the wine and spirits industry. As I mentioned, started as an importer. Then I eventually went ahead and got my distribution license. And I represented as a distributor in Texas probably about 40 different brands of wine and spirits. While I was doing that, I had seemed to be the go-to guy for veteran-owned brands within the state. So I distributed Ledslinger's, Heroes Vodka, the Ledslinger's whiskey, of course. And I just, at that moment, I saw the power within the community, in the veteran community, through social media, and the loyal following that those brands had. And I said, you know, I'm a veteran. I come from that same world. Let me give a shot at this. And so once my license had expired on the distribution side. I said, this is time to do my own brand in that same space. And that's when I started American Bourbon.
I love that. But I love the fact that necessity was the mother of invention for you. The fact that you took your first paying job, you were paid in wine. it's just so funny, man. Right? I mean, you turned it into your own currency, really. The wine became a currency for you. And you realized, you know, it's like those aha moments of, I can do this. So anyway, the point that I'm making is that you have now got a company, America Bourbon. It's M-E-R-I-C-A, bourbon.com. You guys can check it out. What makes your bourbon different? I'm going to ask you that on the other side, because at some point you became an aficionado, if you know what I'm saying. Because, you know, you don't just make bourbon and go, oh, that tastes pretty good to me. I don't know. I'll just put it on the shelf, see what happens. So we're going to talk about, as an entrepreneur, what do you do different? How do you make your brand stand out? I think I can see what's going on, America Bourbon. And some of the lessons that help you get there. And then we're going to have you give like 3 or 4 good pieces of advice to entrepreneurs that will help them along that journey. Because we're probably talking about 15, 20 years here worth of work. We're talking with Derek Sisson, CEO of AmericaBourbon.com on the web. I'm Alan Taylor. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, this show is about having the students be the teacher. Because at the end of the day, those of you out there that are entrepreneurs have walked the walk, talked the talk, fell down onto your knees, broke a few teeth, and you've come out winners. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on the show, because obviously we don't have people on the show that, yeah, I lost 3 businesses and had to go to jail for a year and got a drug problem and I'm broke. Can you help me? No, that doesn't work like that. Derek Sisson's with us, CEO of America Bourbon. Doesn't start with an A. It's leave the A off of America. It's America Bourbon. AmericaBourbon.com on the web. By the way, I want to say it out loud and clear for the world to hear. Thank you for your service to our country. Really appreciate that. It's so important. And I especially like working with military folks. My sister-in-law, she's got PTSD from being in the military, and her daughter was her caregiver. And now, just about 2 weeks ago, she joined the military at 32 years old. And I'm telling you, this sacrifice that you folks give is beyond, there's no way to really describe it. And the world maybe doesn't appreciate it. And that's why I know it's a brotherhood and a sisterhood. But anyway, I just want to say it again. Thank you, Derek, for your service. All right, it is time for you to talk about what makes your brand stand out. What makes America Bourbon stand out?
Well, as a distributor, as I mentioned earlier, I represented quite a few brands. And, getting in front of the procurement director of these retail chains gave me some valuable lessons on what works and what doesn't work. So whether that looks like the functionality of the bottle, which a lot of people wouldn't think about, or, you know, your price point, your labels, you know, where you're sourcing all these different items, it all comes into play. And so as a distributor, I was able to, like I said, have some on-the-job training in that area. And, you know, it's crazy, you know, when the public speaks. I mean, sometimes people brought products to me, to these procurement directors, and they'd say, well, you know, it's the wrong price point, or look at that bottle. What bartender's going to want to handle that bottle? And so through that process, I visited so many different distilleries, worked with so many different retail chains within the state of Texas. I kind of felt like I knew what price point my bourbon needed to be at. I kind of knew what kind of bottle it needed to be in, where to source the shippers, the labels, just everything. You know, and also at the same time, based on my time in service, I was never able to afford, you know, a good quality spirit. I just didn't make that kind of money. So I wanted it to be affordable. for those guys in the military as well. And I wanted to be able to give back at the same time. And so I feel I've accomplished that mission. You know, right now we're under $30 on the shelf, which is, you know, it's not the most inexpensive bourbon out there, but it's certainly not the most expensive. Also, during that time as a distributor, and I mentioned visiting those distilleries, I came across a distillery that was using a patented process. And it was basically an acceleration process, but it also pulled out the impurities from the bourbon, which made it a lot smoother and just easy drinking. And so I reached out to them, and I actually started utilizing that process. And being that it didn't have to be aged as long, it lowered the price of what I could sell, you know, out into the marketplace. So it was all just, you know, I think it was all a learning experience. But those are the things I think that differentiate American bourbon from the, some of the other bourbons out there, some of my competitors.
Awesome. All right, now it's time for you to be the professor. And along that journey of life, you have decided these are the pillars of my business and my life. And maybe you could teach those to us real quick.
Absolutely. You know, first thing I would have to say is, you know, one of the things I mentioned that I had started getting paid in wine. And when I started the brand or the distribution company, I was undercapitalized. I would recommend not starting out undercapitalized. It doesn't mean you can't make it. Right. But I think it's important to have the, you know, enough capital to survive, you know, at least the first year, whatever that looks like. We try to operate with full integrity. With that being said, full integrity and transparency, all the folks that work with us are very loyal to our company, loyal to the brand. And I think that's just, you know, probably one of the key ingredients to be a proper leader, whether you're in the service or trying to build a business. And then, you know, the probably last but not least is faith. You know, faith is, you know, when things are horrible as an entrepreneur, as you mentioned earlier, you get roughed up a lot of times.
Right.
But having that faith that can carry you through to the next day, whatever you believe in, but believing there's a higher power, that's what can kind of carry you through to you complete the mission.
Boy, I tell you what, I honestly, I don't know how many people forget what you just said, that at the end of the day, you're not on this journey alone. And if you think you are, then you're going to have to really fall hard. And sometimes that's what it takes. I told somebody the other day, who am I to deny my kids the right to be wrong? And when they find out they're wrong, they usually come back and go, you were right, Dad. And, you know, I go, I know, but you needed to make that mistake and you needed to fall pretty hard. And now you can listen to these pillars of my life. Thank you very much, Derek Sisson, CEO of America Bourbon, AmericaBourbon.com. I salute you for your service. We'll be right back. It is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Are you paying too much for business insurance? Do you have critical gaps in your coverage? Entrepreneur Insurance can help you find out. In 6 out of 10 policies, business owners are paying too much for property, general liability, or workers' comp insurance. Entrepreneur Insurance can help you identify ways to save and any gaps in coverage. Head to entrepreneur.com/insurance to complete the questionnaire and get a personalized quote. It's an easy way to find out if you're paying too much. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insurance.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know that I, like you listening, am an entrepreneur. And if you're listening and you're not an entrepreneur, you're a wantrepreneur, because otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this show, would you? Because, I mean, how many times in your life did you say to yourself, I don't want to work for somebody. I want to be my own boss. That is the spirit that drives us forward. That energy, that passion that we have about whatever it is, even if it's just knowing that at some point in my life, I want to be my own boss. honestly do not know how to turn off my entrepreneurial spirit. I've said this before. My wife thinks I'm a complete wackadoodle. She's like, where do you get all this energy? I was on a conference call this morning at 6:30 a.m. with another guy that was on another time zone. And we were joking because he's like, hey, thanks for getting up so early. I go, let me tell you something. I would have got up at 4:30 if you would have said you wanted to do it early. I don't care. I'm always on. I love what I do. I love learning. I love growing. I am an entrepreneur. I work for Entrepreneur Magazine, Entrepreneur Media. And I guess I have to be that guy. So, right now, actually, in my life, I am looking to purchase a franchise. Now, I am the guy that is the voice for the Franchise Expo. If you've been to any of the Franchise Expo, the International Franchise Expo in New York and Houston and Los Angeles and Miami, wherever they have been, I've been the voice for those commercials and for those videos and radio commercials. And I've done over 450 interviews with founders of franchises. And I fell in love with franchising because, you know, when we start our own businesses, man, we are taking every risk under the sun. But if you buy a franchise, you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. And I learned that because somebody has taken a business where they threw caution to the wind and they did whatever it was, and they made through sweat, blood, tears, flesh, everything it took, they made a success out of it. Then they chronicled that, they put it down into a manual, they went down and they've got all the licenses and went through all the jump through the hoops and everything, and they created a franchise so that they can sell you exactly what they did to make the profits they made. And they've done it over and over and over again. And there's franchises out there with 500, 700, 800, thousands of, you know, look at McDonald's, you look at Subway. I interviewed the founder of Subway before he passed away, a fantastic guy. And it was an amazing story. And I said, so you made the first Subway sandwich? And he's like, yes. I go, you swept the floors and mopped the floors in the first Subway sandwich shop? He says, yes. And, you know, what does he have now? 37,000 employees or some. I don't know. It was a huge number. Anyway, point is, our guest right now, Christy Wilson Delk, entrepreneur, business professor, and author of the book Adventures in Franchise Ownership. And after 17 years of corporate sales and distribution, Christy decided to risk it all. And back in 1996, she sold her house, cashed in her 401k plan, and went down with a down payment and got a $1.7 million Small Business Administration loan. And that's what she needed to start and build her franchise, Kids Are Kids Academy. And then over the next 15 years, she expanded twice, grew her business to one of the largest franchise in her industry. And then she had a multi-million dollar exit back in 2012. Now, as a college professor and a franchise industry expert, she's here to help you and me. Because, Christy, I am looking to buy a franchise right now. After all that I've done, all these years working with the franchise industry, I bought a plaza. I have 28 rental units. I've kicked out a few people, ended their leases, let them go, raised the prices, whatever I got to do. I want this plaza to be the coolest business marketplace I can have, even if I got to put my own franchises in. So I'm selling a rental house. I'm going to take the equity in that, and I'm going to build a franchise. So I told my wife this morning in the bathroom, she pulled out another clump of hair, and she's, you know, but actually, you know what she says to me? She goes, all right, well, that sounds okay, because we want to create that income stream, right? So I think this is a good time to have you on the show. Thank you for being on with us.
You're welcome. I'm totally relating to very much of what you're saying, really the whole thing. And you mentioned going to the expo in New York.
Right.
And yeah, that's kind of a great place to start for your listeners.
Totally. Because you can walk around these things. Go to franchiseexpo.com, I think is what it is. International Franchise Expo. They have them all over the country. There's one every, I don't know, like 3 or 4 months. But
that's right.
When I would go to these things, I'd go, man, look at that guy. He's making tons of money making cookies, you know, the Mrs. Fields cookies or whatever. This guy over here, they're selling ice cream out of the back of their car. You can deliver ice cream. And I'm like, there's so many cool ideas. You don't have to have a ton of money, $10,000, whatever it is. You can start with some of these smaller franchises, and you can be kind of a, you know, a singlepreneur, they call it, to where you're just, you know, like, travel agents. They have travel agents that work from home.
Yeah.
And there's like so many cool things.
One. Yeah. Right? I interviewed a Dream Vacations franchisee.
Yeah.
I interviewed a lot of different franchisees, top performer franchisees from all different segments. And that particular segment really impresses me for a lot of reasons, but one of them being, yeah, you can work from your home, literally, and there's not a lot of capital outlay. However, indeed, the like travel, you know, there are a few things that you need to, you know, do a double check. But the other thing about the expos that's so cool is also what you said is my favorite part is hearing the stories. How did some of these get started?
Right.
And it's just, you know, Horatio Alger over and over and over, you know, to understand, you know, where the beginnings of some of these are.
Right.
And so, you know, the great stories inspire, you know, people to, you know, be clients of some of these places.
All right. So you have a book.
Franchisees.
Your book is Adventures in Franchise Ownership. Is it out now?
It is.
Okay. Where can people buy that, first of all? And then we're going to talk about that and how you got started in yours. And then we're going to give some advice to guys like me.
The Adventures in Franchise Ownership, the sort of byline is the four pillars to strengthen, protect, and grow your business. And it's available online kind of everywhere as far as I've checked, Target, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores. So it should be, you know, not that difficult to get for somebody that, you know, wants that to be their thing to help them stay or get motivated in the new year.
Let me do this. I'm going to take a break. You guys, here's the deal. This book, if you're thinking about getting a franchise, do your homework. Don't rush into anything. Go to the Franchise Expo. Find out. Go to franchiseexpo.com. Find out when the next one is going to be anywhere near you. It's worth a plane ticket if it's not near you. We're going to talk about the four pillars, which to me are very important. Layers of loyalty, strategic leadership, money metrics, method management. We're going to come back with more of Christy Wilson Delk right here on Entrepreneur Weekly. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
That's right. Start me up. And listen, I'm going to be starting up a franchise soon. So our guest today is Christy Wilson Delk. She has a brand new book, well, at least a book, Adventures in Franchise Ownership. And she's going to give us her four pillars approach. But before I get into that here on Entrepreneur Weekly, don't forget to go to entrepreneur.com. You can find more of this show and great videos and lots of great stories about folks that are getting started up in their business. And also all these learnings that we're going to have with folks like Christy that we have on the show every day, these are all the things that you guys can do to be more successful, to be more intentional in what you do, do a better job, be a better spouse, a better friend, a better boss, whatever it might be. It all is relative. An entrepreneur is a lifestyle. And you do take it to bed with you. And I did have to tell my wife, I don't want to talk about business in bed. So there you got to have those guardrails and things too. But could you give us an elevator pitch on, you know, your company was Kids Are Kids Academy. You must have been very passionate to do what you did, sell your house and all that.
Yes, I was. But I also had that necessity thing going on, you know, different reasons why people, you know, go into entrepreneurship. So at that time in my life, it was necessity. So a layoff, you know, not happy at my job, and was introduced to the franchise by a friend and thought, what? Me? Franchise? And then a couple of other things happened. And if we're open and we're paying attention, you know, the dots start to get connected.
Right.
And so I realized that my friend was right. He said, you could do this. And I thought, you know, I knew I could, but now I want to do it. So I bought a Kids Are Kids Academy. That's a big deal because a few franchise models out there require you to construct a building. It's not getting into a lease situation. So it's a little bit more complex. But as it turns out, made it all the more worthwhile when I sold because I had that great asset of the building.
Right.
So over the course of 15 years, listeners, guys, it was challenging. I say on the jacket, the good, the bad, and the really tough stuff. So tough stuff included having money stolen from me during, you know, not a great time in my life. I was going through a health thing. And I mean a lot of money, Alan, like $40,000 over the course of 2 years. Yeah. I was on the news not once, and not in a good way, twice. And that's the one thing you don't want to happen to you if you, particularly if you own a childcare franchise. However,
crisis management.
Yeah, exactly. But that, I'll get into how that all worked out when we talk about the pillars. A couple of other challenging things, you know, had to learn how to drive the bus over a weekend, had to fire a lot of people, had to hire a lot of people.
Right.
However, the 15 years, and you've probably done some research on this, that I learned after I sold was probably maybe close to double what most franchisees, the time that they end up owning the business. So that's partly what led me to want to write the book, because I thought, you know what, they got out too early. I feel ya. I wanted to sell when I started counting up how much money had been stolen. But I stuck with it. I expanded for the second time after that. And, you know, loved it. So because it was partly a lifestyle model for me, business model, and that's important too, listeners, if you're looking. My son, he was 3 when I opened. Boom, time plus 15, that equals 18.
Right.
Mom can do something else now. So, yeah. So I loved it, and I wanted to do something else, and that's teaching now.
So, it's interesting. I haven't gotten your book yet, which I want to, because I'm going to make sure I read this before I buy a franchise, but I realized that, you know, like you said, it was a necessity. You wanted to keep an eye on your own kids. So you started the Kids Are Kids Academy so that he could be involved in your life and you can be involved in his. Isn't that interesting? And then when he got to that age, like right now, my youngest is 19. And so we're looking at, all right, what can we do that will take us out of the picture and give us the ability to still have own a business that has, you know, income coming in, and it's not relying on us other than being the owners, a franchise.
Yeah, yeah. And I think your idea of your plan to have the shopping mall with really cool different businesses that you have a piece of, and, you know, maybe they're all franchises. I mean, that works. You know, there's so many different segments. But, yeah, a lot of your decision does come down to, if you're doing your homework and you're thinking about, you know, what you want to get out of it, kind of where you are in life. Are you sort of young and carefree? Are you kind of middle-aged and, you know, encumbered? That's not a great word, but you have a mortgage, you have children. Or are you, you know, on the other side of 50? There, I said it.
I'm closer to 60, and, lady.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay then. Yeah, no shame, ditto.
No, I love
it. But then the necessity, or is it just something you're aspiring to do? You know, the motivation.
Right.
You know, that needs to be part of your formula, too.
All right, let me do this then. I got another break coming up here.
Okay.
I want to come back. We're going to talk about the four pillars approach that are in your book. Her book is called Adventures in Franchise Ownership. You can join me on this journey. You're going to hear me talking about it more and more, because I am a serial entrepreneur. And can't help myself. I was born with it. It's just the way it is. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back with the four pillars from Christy Wilson Delk. We'll be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
ChristyWilsonDelk.com is her website. D-E-L-K, last name, Christy Wilson Delk. She sold her house. She got a loan from the Small Business Administration. She bought a franchise. You can do this too. She had a multi-million-dollar exit. She wrote a book, the book Adventures in Franchise Ownership. And you know what? Being an entrepreneur is an adventure. It really, truly is. Christy, now we're talking about the four pillars approach. Let's blow through those real quick. And you know what? I didn't go to college, so do me a favor. Go easy on me. I have the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I definitely, and that's a point that I love making whenever I can get the opportunity, is that, yeah, you know, a college education is not required to have a successful business, for sure. But the cool thing about the four pillars approach, I realized later, after I started teaching, that the pillars line up very naturally with what is taught in kind of entry-level business courses. So I don't want to, you know, get
That's good to know. All right, let me start for you then.
Okay.
Number one, layers of loyalty. Give me 1 minute.
Okay. So the point of layers of loyalty is that you have to strengthen your business. There's going to be cycles. There's going to be downturns. There's going to be all kinds of things that happen. So building loyalty with your clients, with your employees, and if you own a franchise, with your franchisor, very important. And last, with your community. Not in fourth place, but right. Just number four.
Right.
In your community. Loyalty will strengthen your business.
I got it. Number two, strategic leadership. 1 minute.
So when you own a business, you have to be a lot of different people and do a lot of different things. You got to remember that you're only one person.
Right.
So you can't do everything. And you don't want to run around like a crazy person because you'll drive everybody else crazy. So you have to get really focused. So in strategic leadership, I talk about three different kinds of leadership to be aware of. It's not this body language stuff. I'm like, you know, I've got it broken down into planned leadership when you say, okay, this is what I'm going to do this year that is going to improve my competitive advantage. That's a big one.
Right.
Or you might have unplanned leadership. Uh-oh, what do you mean the bus driver quit? I guess I'm going to learn how to drive the bus over the weekend.
That's
or
right.
I'm going to cook. There's a great story in the book about a female franchisee who ended up cooking on Father's Day because the chef didn't come.
So at the end of the day, you do whatever the hell it takes when you're the boss. All right, I got to go to the next one. Number three,
okay.
Money metrics. What is that? Number three.
Yes. Okay, so metrics, guys. All that is, we're talking numbers, percentages, ratios, and so forth. So the importance of really understanding your numbers in terms of how they interact with one another, you know, if this goes down, this also needs to go down, like right away, or otherwise it's going to be too big of a chunk of your profit, and that you can add to the bottom line by being efficient in certain ways that you probably hadn't thought about. But that it's very, very fundamental to your business to know your numbers.
All right. And that likens it to if you're building a house, you have a set of plans, stick to the plans. Because for every time you change the plans, there's 10 more drawbacks that'll get affected by it. All right. So pillar number four, method management. Give me 1 minute.
So I'm going to take this one right back to you and your conversation with your wife. Method management is the framework for how you run your business. And it is what helps keep your sanity intact, how you sleep at night. So you plan. I have a chapter called Planning Your Profits. Is it that easy? No, but you do plan them. And then you do your programming and you do your budgeting and you do
So what you're talking about is not only living with intention, but being in business with intention. So that you're not just, like I said, you know, have your set of plans when you go to build the house and then follow them. Have intention with what you do. All right, listen, I have drive everybody over to your website, ChristyWilsonDelk.com. Very easy. Her book is on the newsstands and available online, Adventures in Franchise Ownership. This song, by the way, is called Nobody's Fault But Mine. And it is from Led Zeppelin. And if you don't take that leap of faith in your lives, in your own self, it's nobody's fault but yours. Because so many people want to be entrepreneurs and they stay with those jobs that are just killing their soul. Don't be one of those people. Check out Christy's book. Again, Adventures in Franchise Ownership. I'm going to do it. Christy, thank you.
Thank you, Alan. It was a real pleasure.
I can't wait to read your book. I'm going to be getting a franchise soon. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll see you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.